Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Molly and Hall on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. His name is Rick in the Hall of Fame, and Dan Pompey joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Hey, I'm great, guys. Good to be with you today.
Well, we're delighted to talk to you. I've got a lot of questions that I want to go over. I've been thinking about it, and I got to tell you, Mike Lombardi said something to us earlier that now is – kind of haunting me. He said that the Bears haven't played good defense since Vic Fangio was here. And I was thinking about that, and I don't know why that is accurate, but they did not play. And again, it's 1 year. They had a lot of injuries last year. And I don't know what I'm dying to see the injury report later today. I don't know what the status is with Robert Quinn, and I don't know if Mac is going to be able to practice. He didn't practice last week, a limited practice. Is that what's going on? Is that why we're not seeing what we thought we'd see thus far from that defense?
Well, I think it's a part of it, but it's probably bigger than that. I think, things might have started a little bit in Detroit down the wrong path when Detroit found out they could run the ball up the middle and they could, overpower the Bears without Eddie Goldman in there. I think the Bears need some of those defensive linemen to step up. They need some of the interior linebackers to play better than they did a week ago. And, I don't think it's as easy as saying, it's all about Khalil Mack. I didn't think he had a great game. And certainly the addition of Robert Quinn should help things if and when he's ready to play. But, the core is still really good there. And, they played good defense, in my opinion, a lot of games last year. I mean, they were maybe a notch below what they played at the level they played in 2018. And as you said, there were some reasons for that. The absence of Akeem Hicks, certainly, for a lot of the season. Absence of Danny Trevathan and a lot of subs going in and out of there. But I think, everything is in place for the defense to be a very good defense. They need to play differently than they did in that opening game, though.
Dan, I think your post-game observations were terrific, as usual. One really stood out to me. I do agree. I think it was – you termed it – you said it was a very good win. You don't know if this is a very good team. And I think after week one, that's the way to look at it, because the Bears did show some promise, but they also revealed some flaws. If there was one area that you think needs the most work, was it the defense? Was it the quarterback? Was it the offensive line? What didn't you like the most or maybe the least?
Well, the quarterback play. I mean, okay. You're not going to get away with that against any good football team in the National Football League. You just cannot dig the hole that Mitch Trubisky dug and then expect to come back from 17 points down in the fourth quarter you know, against a secondary that was missing its three top cornerbacks. You know, it's not going to happen every week. So it's not going to happen probably ever again. So they need to straighten that out, you know, whether it's with Mitch improving his game, you know, continuing to build on what he did late in the game, or whether it's with a move to Foles at some point. You know, it's something that obviously will be considered if things don't improve. I don't think it's going to happen right away with Foles. You know, I think they're going to ride it out with Mitch a little bit. But eventually it's something that, you know, I think everybody kind of would be surprised if it didn't happen, right?
It was a minor surprise it didn't happen at halftime. I mean, the way things were going.
Dan, you know, I made a joke about it on Twitter after, I think it was the first series or the second series. I said, is it too soon to go to Nick Foles? You know, but I mean, you know, some of the throws that he was making, some of the decisions, you know, were just terrible. And then, of course, he became, you know, a completely different player with the game on the line.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not arguing any of that. I think what's amazing to me is here we are on a Wednesday of week two, and we've got this Allen Robinson story breaking yesterday, and he's cleaned all his social media of the Bears. He's obviously unhappy with his contract situation. Big Z reporting he asked for a trade. You look at where how does it get to this point, Dan? I mean, that's the thing that kind of escapes me. I understand that everyone has a difference of opinion as to what a guy's value is, but they surely can't be that far apart, and surely they knew this contract was expiring, and we've been talking about it for a year. So how did it get to this point?
Well, clearly what's happened is the Bears have made him offers, and he has not liked those offers, and he thinks he's worth a lot more than they do. And, you know, maybe this shouldn't be a complete surprise because, you know, you look at a couple different things. First of all, Ryan Pace comes from the New Orleans Saints. Their philosophy always was, prior to Michael Thomas, don't pay the receiver a lot of money. Now, Michael Thomas is an outlier. You know, he's done things that no receiver has done statistically in his first few years in the league, and he looks like, you know, he could be a truly great player. Matt Nagy comes from Kansas City. You know, they've really never paid receivers either. You know, you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers that is in the Super Bowl hunt almost every season. They don't pay wide receivers. There are a lot of teams in the National Football League that will tell you, you should structure your salary cap and your payroll so that the receiver is not at the top of it. And if you look at how the Bears are built, you know, you see, well, where's their, most of their money is on defense. They're going to have to pay a quarterback next year, I'm guessing, you know, unless they get a high draft pick and go that route. But I would think they're going to have to invest heavily in a veteran quarterback. It's going to take up a lot of money. So if you're the Bears and you're saying, oh, look at how Anthony Miller has been playing in training camp, and look at his first game. Maybe he can be a number one wide receiver if he keeps playing the way he played, he's been up to this point. You know, obviously it's early. You don't know that yet, but you've got 15 games to find out if he's that player. And if he is, he'd be a lot cheaper than signing Allen Robinson to a new contract. And then you go out and find a number two wide receiver. And one of the reasons the Steelers don't pay wide receivers is they find them. You know, you can find wide receivers if you know what you're doing in the draft, even in with veterans. So, you know, I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for Allen Robinson. I think he's a great player. But you have to look at this from a business perspective.
Dan, I love you. But that from a football perspective, You only get one guy like Allen Robinson every so often. He's a top 10 receiver in the league, or at least top 12. And the Steelers are able to find wide receivers, as you correctly point out, because they had Ben Roethlisberger. The Bears don't have a luxury of having that. I mean, so Anthony Miller's success is sometimes revolves around the idea he's opposite Allen Robinson. I don't know if he, as a number one, gives you much of a passing game. He's so inconsistent still. So I think the Bears are playing with fire here.
Well, the Steelers have found receivers, David, who have had success on other teams too. You know, so it's not just about Ben Roethlisberger.
Good counter.
And I think, you know, it all comes down to how you structure your team and what you value and where you think you have to spend your money. I mean, like I said, there are some benefits for the Bears in letting this thing play out, I believe, from a business standpoint. You know, I think Allen Robinson is pretty special, like I said, and I'd have no problem paying him, but I understand why the Bears maybe have not met his price and made him, you know, a top, whatever it is, top five paid receiver in the National Football League.
Dan, I wanted to talk to you about running quarterbacks, and the reason being I thought it was fascinating to see what Kyler Murray was able to do, and it's just kind of bizarre to see a guy with this change of pace and this kind of explosion of burst. I believe he had 13 carries, and he was actually brought to the ground once. He was dragged down by his jersey, so it wasn't like he got hit much. Then you look at what the Patriots did. Cam Newton had 15 carries, 10 of which were kind of not just ended in hits, but kind of big hits, right? I mean, he's lowering a shoulder on guys. I know Mitch carried the ball three times for 26 yards for the Bears. How do you see teams balancing that idea of running the quarterback and using that while also keeping the guy safe? And with Newton in particular, I mean, you know, Tim Tebow was with Josh McDaniels in Denver, and they got to the playoffs, actually won a playoff game with him as a guy they couldn't throw. So they kind of went back maybe to some of that stuff. I know they were talking about stuff that Cam did in college. It was just such a different look for the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, and I think Lamar Jackson is the other guy, obviously. He ran a lot on Sunday again and took some hits, I think. So, you know, we're in a little bit of a different era, and there's a new way of thinking, I believe, with running quarterbacks where some of this is being embraced in a way that it never was embraced before. You know, but I think if you've got a guy who truly is an elite passer, you do want to limit his exposure to hits in the open field and, you know, prevent him from putting down that shoulder and taking on a linebacker. A lot of these quarterbacks are a little bit different in what their skill set is, though. You know, they might not be a passer to the level that Patrick Mahomes is a passer, but they can beat you in a lot of different ways. So, you know, I think you really have to look at what your quarterback's talents are and how your offense is built around him and make those decisions. His age is another factor, you know, because I think as the quarterback gets on in years, certainly he has fewer hits left in him or fewer, you know, times when he can be hit because that takes a toll on a quarterback over time. You know, the other thing that's going to be interesting to see how some of these guys age, you know. How's Kyler Murray going to be at 30 years old? How's Lamar Jackson going to be at 30 years old? Is he going to be playing the same way? Is he going to be able to maintain health throughout, you know, a long career the way that a guy like Tom Brady has? So I think, you know, it's kind of new what we're dealing with some of these guys, and we're kind of playing it by feel a little bit.
Dan, do you think that the Bears take care of the Giants? Do you think that this Allen Robinson thing becomes a big distraction and gets in the way of their game plan on Sunday?
I don't see this as a big deal. I think Allen Robinson is such a pro that, you know, he's going to put his chin strap on and go out and have a big game and play well like he does every week, practice hard. And, you know, that's definitely a team, the New York Giants, that the Bears should beat on Sunday. And, you know, they should start out 2-0, I think. And but, you know, they've got a lot to work on. They've got a lot of areas where they need improvement because, as we said, they were not a very good team in week one.
Great stuff, Dan. Appreciate it. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, okay, Dan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
That is our guy, Dan Pompey. Great stuff from Dan. You know, and we should mention, the running quarterback thing fascinates me for a lot of different reasons. Was there a time when you felt like, there was a certain quarterback out in Seattle that you've liked all along that I had to grow into. Russell Wilson was more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback. I don't know if you saw it, David. He was 31 of 35.
Oh, yeah.
So he had four incompletions and four touchdown passes.
He's my favorite NFL quarterback. Of course I saw it.
I wish if Mitch could have as many touchdowns as incompletions, all would be forgiven. What do you think?
Guy's awesome.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. I want to pay tribute to someone, and we've got to get to the Big Ten news because it's all over the place. You don't have to be a president at Nebraska to know about the Big Ten. We'll talk about it next, and it's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Look, we're getting ready to announce a Husker Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
Right.
Oh, that is so much fun when a phone call is overheard and you're the president at Nebraska and you got breaking news. And we do have breaking news, and we should tell you the breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We've got Pete Thamel on Twitter saying, sources say the Big Ten is coming back. We'll begin the weekend of October 24th. It'll include daily rapid testing as a fixture of the plan. A statement from the league is imminent. And Big Ten sources, as of now, games will be played on campus with no fans other than families, and that situation could change. Rapid testing should make 8 games in 8 weeks doable, and the title game will be on December 19th, David.
Yes, it will. And as we move forward here, I'm looking forward to finding out what's changed since August 11th. Why are they doing this now? Who are they listening to? What kind of medical evidence are they basing this decision on in terms of moving forward and playing a game? And why are they more willing now to assume risks they weren't willing to take not that long ago? The science and the medicine hasn't changed that much, Mully. And I want to get on board. And I watched Saturday Notre Dame play, and I watched around the country as there were 19 games, and I felt total ambivalence. I love the sport, as you know. I'm passionate about college football, but I just had a hard time. I just had a hard time, and I have a hard time getting excited about this, to be honest with you. I can't apologize for how I feel. It's how I feel. And I just wonder if this is in the best interest of the health and safety of 18 to 22-year-old student athletes, because I just look at this as the Big Ten trying to save face a little bit and looking at what they decided to do in postponing the season. Others didn't follow. So now they're acquiescing, and now they're hedging, and now they're shifting. And I have some really mixed feelings about this.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you just said it. To me, the question that you got to ask all these presidents is, what's the change in the science? What happened from the first time to the second time? What's the difference? What has been learned, or what is it that you see now, Money, that you didn't see exactly when you made the decision initially?
That's what it is. That's the reality of it, is that when they recognized just what the reality was in terms of their bottom line, and we have seen programs be canceled, and we've seen a lot of economic hardship, I guess, anticipated, and hit these campuses and hit these budgets. But at the same time, Mully, while that is happening, and that is an unfortunate reality of when you don't play football and you don't get that those revenues, look what's happening at college campuses around America. And look what's happening with the number of positive tests. And look what's happening with at LSU and Texas Tech, I believe it is, and how many positive tests. And they're trying to convince us this is an example of herd immunity. And I just cringe as I look at these numbers on college campuses going up. And look what the Big Ten is doing in returning to play. And I wonder if this is compatible, and I wonder if it makes sense at all.
Well, I mean, again, I'm going to need to hear from these people and hear what's changed. I when I kept hearing the the players' families are upset, and the different marches, and Jim Harbaugh's jumped in, and you know, I kept thinking, okay, well, that's great. They're putting pressure on them, but these are college presidents. These are educators. They base their decision on the science of it, right? And if the science changed, well, then of course they're going to change. But if the science hasn't changed, and all that's changed is the pressure that's on these guys, how is that doing your job? How is that acknowledging? You know, I mean, don't you kind of have to repeat what has happened and what's going on? And look, I mean, if they're looking around the landscape and they're seeing everyone else is doing it and it's working out for them, then God bless them. They're saying that we used the rest of college football as guinea pigs, and now it's working out, so we're going to do it, and we're going to have our own little kind of design bubble type thing. But as you say, David, you look at some of the schools, some of the Big Ten schools, there have been massive problems.
Yes.
I've got friends, you know, my daughter is a freshman in college. I've got tons of friends with children in similar situations that are just starting colleges around the Big Ten. And there, you know, there's kids that have caught the thing, that have had to come home, that are in quarantine. A guy I know has a daughter who's up at Wisconsin, and her roommate got it, and they had to kind of clear her out because of the roommate's issue. I got to tell you, it's just insane to me that nothing has changed other than the pressure on the presidents, and so they're going to cave into it. But I want to know, what is the difference? How they look at it differently than they did?
The success of the NFL has compelled a lot of people to think that you can look at Power Five conferences and duplicate that, because they have had zero tests that have been positive, and that's really encouraging. But you have to remember, the NFL is professional football. And as close as college football resembles the NFL, it still is not professional football. And in that, I mean, you can control the environment and you can control the behavior a lot easier when you're talking about the NFL and these guys who are professionals reporting to work than you can when you have 85 to 100 student athletes on a roster that you on a campus. And part of college is the socialization and just be letting these guys become part of the community on campus. You can't control that. And when you can't control that, you endanger the health of everybody on that campus. And I just don't know that it makes a lot of sense. So as you say, let's wait to see what is different, if anything, about the health and science information they have that they're basing this decision on, because they have to explain this better than they explained it on August 11th.
I want to also kind of give a tip of the cap to a particular player. But first, let's hear from Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. And David, you know that I'm not a huge fan of the Minnesota Twins by any stretch of the imagination, but you've got to acknowledge that Byron Buxton might be the fastest player that that I've seen in Major League Baseball. He was apparently a very good receiver in high school, just a guy that can run extremely well. We have seen him now, in two consecutive games, score an inside-the-park home run. Now, one of them, the one that that Aloy messed up, had to be brought back. But he did it again yesterday. And watching that guy go around second and realize that he had a chance, he just hit a different gear and scored. I mean, look, Louis Robert made a bad play on the ball. I understand it. And he fell down. He had to get back up. But that guy is unbelievable. His speed is otherworldly.
Yeah, he looked like an athlete. There's no question about it. And he was deprived the night earlier, as you said, but there was determination on his face around his second last night. He knew that the way that ball bounced off the wall, he had a shot, and it wasn't even close. So I think they timed him. They have stats and metrics for everything. And yeah, and they were talking about just how fast and how many miles per hour he was running. Yeah, he could play. He could be on a double for the Vikings as a deep threat, the way that he was running the bases for the Twins.
They could use it.
Yeah.
Also, how about yesterday, Jason Hayward, the pill that he threw to cut down Frankie Lindor at home plate. That was extraordinary. And Frankie Lindor is a really good player, and we saw that in evidence last night. But, man, that was one hell of a throw.
And that was a throw that they measured at 92 miles per hour from right field, and it was a strike, and it was as good as you could have hoped for in that situation. You're not talking about a guy who's slow in Lindor. You're talking about a guy that's pretty quick, and Jason Hayward wound up, and he threw it, and that was turned out to be a huge play, and it just reinforced just how great of a season he actually is having. You expect that from him in the field. He's been providing the clutch hit. He has had a terrific week for the Cubs, starting on Saturday night with that big hit that changed things. And they've been a different team since, and last night making that big play in right field.
And just to tie the whole concept together, I think Byron Buxton was probably the only guy he wouldn't have thrown out on that play.
I don't think Louis Robert would have. I think he might have been able to beat it too. But,
okay. You know, okay.
I like the way you did that. Full circle.
Imagine if. All right. We've got Charles Davis is going to join us next. He's on the call of the Bears-Giants game, so we can talk to him about what he's seen from the Giants and what he expects to see from the Bears in week two. Teams usually make that jump from week one to week two. Bears have plenty of room for it. And it's great that they won the opener, and unlike the Giants. So we'll talk to Charles Davis next. Mully and Haw on the score.
For me, it's never my focus. You know, again, I've said that before. You know, so I'm not focused on that. You know, I mean, I'm focused on the season. Like I said before, we got a game this week. You know, so that's where my concern is. You know, focusing on the Detroit Lions right now. You know, going out here trying to help my team get a W. You know, so again, I mean. All that other stuff, you know, I let it play out however it play out, you know, but again, that's not of my concern right now.
That was Allen Robinson a week ago. It's Mully and Haw on the score. And I think his focus may be shifting, David. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that he did some it's kind of passive aggressive to remove this stuff from his social media accounts without having, you know, to back it up with a statement. It's a little surprising, but I think that's today's day and age. I do think that it's fair to wonder whether or not this trade demand, whether or not these messy negotiations, whatever you want to call them or phrase it, they could be a distraction this week. It is just the Giants. It is just the kind of team that you welcome into Soldier Field. The Bears should win, but that's why you don't want to mess around with things that could get in the way of what should be a winnable game.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, again, the Bears were 3-point underdogs when they went to Detroit, and they won that game, and they come home 5.5-point favorites over the lowly Giants. And, you know, I do think that I'm going to be fascinated to see what the injury report looks like, because I think that the defense, particularly the front seven, did not have a great outing. And you know, they weren't really hitting Stafford. I mean, I get it. They had a sack, but that seemed more was that a coverage sack or was that him trying to make a play sack? He held on to the ball forever. Now, Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, your guy, you've been touting him, he will hold on to the ball, and he is the kind of guy that you can hit. And while they thought their offensive line was upgraded, they struggled quite a bit. I'll be very curious to see if the Bears defense can put some pressure on the quarterback and if they can stop the run. That was a huge problem, especially early in that Detroit game.
Danny Dimes is not my guy. Danny Dimes is a guy that I wouldn't trust. 14 starts, 14 interceptions, questionable decision-making in the red zone. He'll throw you the ball down there. He'll maybe try to make something happen and see something that isn't there. Yeah, you could win with them maybe, but I think it's an opportunity for the Bears defense to get well and that pass rush to kind of show us what we've been talking about for all offseason. Look, though, this is a critical week for the Bears, whether or not you want to go there or not, because, Mully, we saw players publicly making this an issue about pay Allen Robinson, extend,
right.
Even though they're friends. This is an issue. You've got your most valuable offensive player in the midst of a contract dispute in season. You've got your most expensive free agent who is yet to kind of contribute, and the status of his health is mysterious at best. what are you looking at if you're the Bears here? What are you counting on if you're, you know, you, Robert Quinn, if he's not available, then what? Allen Robinson, if he's not happy, then what? Yeah, they want to know. There's a lot you could paint a rosy picture here, but you've got to take care of some business here, and there's some questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, I you know, I got to tell you, when we talked to Dan Pompey, he said a couple things about Ryan Pace, about coming from New Orleans, about the way they view the receiver, that I've got to sit down and think through quite a bit. Because the reality is, as a caller pointed out earlier, this was one of the worst receiving corps in the NFL before Allen Robinson showed up. I mean, there is a reason they went out and they paid a guy who was coming off a knee injury, because they didn't have anybody like him, and they had no luck going out and trying to find people. It's just a train wreck, the condition the wide receiver core was in, and how poor it was. And my goodness gracious, it just seems like, you know, you can chase your own tail all you want with this stuff, and you can create this storyline of how you're not going to pay because of the value of the position. I look around the NFL, and teams that have a receiver are pretty damn good. Teams that don't have a receiver have some pretty big problems. And you saw a receiver that went to Arizona and had an unbelievable game. You didn't see that in the place. You saw a loss where he had been. So it's a huge hole if you don't have that guy, and I don't know how you avoid it.
And it depends on your team. It depends on your roster and what that player means to that offense. And Allen Robinson means more to the Bears offense than any player that they're going to put out there. And I think he makes others around him better, including Anthony Miller.
All right, we are delighted to welcome in Charles Davis. He's going to be on the call of the Bears game this week. And we've talked to Charles plenty of times over the years, and it is always fun to get his perspective on a game. He, of course, is working with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn as well, and they will be the NFL Today at 11 a.m. on CBS. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, Charles.
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys. How have you been? And is there any luckier analyst in the NFL than me? I go from Kevin Burkhardt to Ian Eagle. Are you kidding me? You talk about high level. Come on. I'm a fortunate man.
You go from Lamar Jackson to Mitch Trubisky. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. You know what we say in the broadcasting world, and this is not a shot or anything at all, but every game you prepare for, it could be the biggest game in the country that day. You just don't know it yet. And that's how you always look at it. This could be the day that we come back, and on Monday we all call each other and go, Mitchell Trubisky went off in this game, and we were there to see it. And that's how I prepare for all of them. And you know, the fun part is the matchup with him and Daniel Jones, because both of them show you those things that think you go, okay, there I see it. The fourth quarter this past week for Mitchell Trubisky. For Daniel Jones, we've seen him throw 5 touchdowns in one game. He set a rookie record last year for touchdown passes. They had a 19-play drive, and then he threw it away. So we've seen the good, the bad. We just want to see consistency out of both of them, because I think if you get consistency, you're going to get good play.
And with young quarterbacks, Charles, you're exactly right. It comes down to sometimes the protection they get in the offensive line in front of them. The Giants' offensive line starts a rookie left tackle. They've got some new guys in the mix there. And frankly, yeah, they didn't create enough space for Saquon Barkley. Is that where this game will be won if the Bears are able to win this game?
I would think so. I think that's a great place to start. I love where you're going with it, because let's break it real quick. Eddie Goldman's not there, and that's a loss. He's an opt-out, but, boy, for the run game, he's tremendous. But if you're talking about getting the Giants in a position of throwing the ball, now Khalil Mack off the edge, if Robert Quinn is back and able to go off the edge, right? Akeem Hicks doing work off the edge and inside. Yeah, because I looked at that Giants group. The only two starters on the offensive line the same as last year are the guards. Will Hernandez at left guard, Kevin Zeitler at right guard. The center's Nick Gates, who's a converted tackle. Monday night was his first game ever at center. Cam Fleming's a journeyman right tackle. And as you mentioned, Andrew Thomas, a rookie left tackle. They've got some work to do because you can't waste carries with Saquon Barkley like that to where he has nowhere to go. And this Bears team, they're licking their chops to have their opportunity there because if they can limit him there, now you can clamp down and get after Daniel Jones in the passing game. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley's a great player, and he was hit either at the line or behind the line of scrimmage in like 11 of the 15 carries. It's just there was no room whatsoever, and the Bears struggled against the running game when Adrian Peterson was running downhill on him. So I think that's going to be, you know, he's a very prideful kid, Barkley, and he's, you know, when you're that good a player, you really feel like you let people down, and I don't think he did because I didn't think he had any space, but I worry about him.
Yeah, and you should, because it's not going to just be him coming back with a vengeance. An offensive line that's had all week to hear how bad they are. So I expect them to play better this week. You know how it goes, right? If somebody tells you how bad you are all week, okay, I'll show you. And, you know, game two, see if they play a little crisper. We'll see how that goes. But the other part is, let's see what Jason Garrett does with Saquon to find some space for him. You know, he's gonna have to do some design and some scheming, because the one big play he had, you guys remember it? Swing pass, get him out of space.
Yep.
38, 39 yards, hurdling people. You give him, you know, just a sliver, you've got a problem on your hands. Jason Garrett's trying to figure out, how can I find that sliver for him if my offensive line can't move people? And he'll find out quickly in this game whether they're moving people or not, and then they'll go from there.
Charles, we all tend to overreact a little bit from week one, the outcomes, but when you look at what you expected, your perception of the Bears, you know, outside of Chicago, nationally, seemed like there were high expectations for this team. What were yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine are high as well, in terms of, I think this is a team that has a chance, because I still think the defense, and that was kind of a little bit of a surprise, wasn't it, on Sunday, giving up 426?
Yeah.
It's not like the Lions are a bad football team in terms of moving the ball. Right? They've got weapons. They've got people. And DeAndre Swift, and boy, I feel for that kid. I mean, now mentally, is he going to be okay going forward? I think he will be. Kids tend to bounce back, and they're resilient. But that's a tough start because he gave them some good plays along the way. But Adrian Peterson running the football, you know? Finally, they've got a runner, you know, which is something they haven't had before. But when I look at this Bears team, the defense is only going to get better, because over 16 games, they will be consistent and play well. Getting Fuller, I love Jalen Johnson coming out of college, and I thought he played really well. Yeah, he got trucked the one time, as DeShay Townsend said. If you haven't gotten trucked, you've never played DB in this league. That's how it's going to work. But how about the bounce back, making plays down the field? And then, of course, Eddie Jackson, of course, in center field. The three of them collaborating on the interception I thought was telling. There's talent, plenty of talent there. Mitchell Trubisky's consistency at the quarterback position, offensive line, going to be a big key to their season. And I think this is a team that's got a chance to be pretty decent.
Charles, as you can imagine, we spent a lot of time this morning talking about Allen Robinson and him cleaning up his social media accounts, erase any mention of the Bears, and reportedly requesting a trade. Obviously, there's a problem with the contract extension, and he's unhappy. It was remarkable to see so many of his teammates support him as opposed to the team. And I sometimes you think guys will stay quiet. Not that they wouldn't support a player, but it was a pretty loud voice here. How big a distraction is it? Is it a worry?
You know, if there wasn't a lot of support for him, I'd call it a distraction. But I don't think there's a distraction, because the guys are in his corner, which allows him, I think, to go to the locker room and feel embraced and go play while this thing gets worked out. Because you guys have all seen the reports, you know, requested a trade. Then the next thing I saw was his agent saying, no, he didn't request a trade, but yeah, he's unhappy. Okay. At least we've got it boiled down, right? Last time I saw someone scrub their accounts of their team mentions was Josh Rosen when he was still with the Cardinals. And I was at the combine, and the word came out that he had scrubbed all mentions of the Cardinals, and then he came back and said he'd been hacked. Allen Robinson wasn't hacked. He's not going to say he was hacked. He's just letting them know he's unhappy. And it's interesting, because go to Philadelphia. the week of the opener, Zach Ertz, their tight end, wants a new deal, right? Apparently he has a raised voices conversation with his GM, Howie Roseman, and it affected him in the game. Did you see the last drop?
Right.
Against Washington? It affected him. I feel like with the support that Allen Robinson's getting from his teammates and him wanting to show everyone, I feel like he's going to continue to play at a really high level, and we've seen that over time. It's just the wide receiver market is it's Wild West right now, isn't it? Guys are getting big deals. Guys are going out there to Allen Robinson saying, where's mine? And that's what Ryan Pace is going to have to figure out, and we'll go from there. But I don't expect him to be a distraction. I think he'll play well.
Charles, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Love your work. Look forward to watching the game on Sunday.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We're fired up about getting to Chicago. You guys be good.
All right, buddy. That is Charles Davis. Always a joy to talk to him. He does a great job. And we will we'll talk to Dan Bernstein next. Always fired up to talk to him. And Layla Rahimi is in as well.
Yes.
So we'll get a chance to talk to both of them. And that should be a load of fun. We'll do that next in transition. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.